on in. I'm actually the third substitute. I'm third string, but the second string string is preaching, so that shows me all the way to leading tonight. So go ahead and stand, and we're going to take your hymnals, and we're going to go ahead and sing a few hymns tonight. Go ahead and go to number 2, and we're going to sing all the verses of number 2. Hymn 64. We're going to sing Like a River Glorious.
Perfect yet it grows.
over to number 117. And this song may be new to a few of us, but we've sung it here before, so we're going to give it another try and get you a little more familiar with it. King of the Ages.
King of the Ages, Almighty God, perfect love, ever just and true. Who will not fear you and bring you praise? All the nations will come to you. Your ways of love have won my heart and brought me joy.
Number 206. Number 206. We're going to sing Jesus, What a Friend of Sinners, the first four verses.
Hallelujah.
We've sung about the Father and we've sung about the Son. Let's sing about the Holy Spirit. Number 318. Again, this may be a newish one to some of you. We have sung it here before, but we're going to learn this and have it part of our repertoire. Holy Spirit, living breath of God. Appropriate since we've sung about the whole Trinity to go ahead and sing a song that is completely about the Trinity. So go over to 326. We'll sing a very familiar hymn, Come Thou Almighty King. Go ahead and stand for our last one, 374. We'll sing a song of thankfulness to our great God. Number 374. Seated, and the children are dismissed for children's choir.
Turn, if you would, to Psalm 103. One of the advantages of growing old is that you can say whatever you want, and you can... It doesn't matter because... But you do develop a perspective that you young kids... Sunday school this morning, you mentioned 1950s, and somebody said they weren't even born yet. And, at any rate, one of the advantages of growing old is that you see a lot of things and you get whole trends and you get directions that people are moving in. And the disadvantage of growing old is it makes you old and grouchy and complaining and grumbly and whatnot. So take your pick. But tonight, I just wanted a couple of thoughts out of Psalm 103. Last week, if you remember, in the morning service, Steve spoke, and he spoke out of using Psalm 100 as the basis for thoughts on praise and thanksgiving to our God. And if I understood the theme right, the idea is that we have a great God, and our thanksgiving ought to reflect that. Whether it be, you know, ringing cries, joyful shouting, the whole deal, because we are... coming and thanking a great God for that, and we get our focus on things in heaven because that's where God is, and we're focusing on God, and that's a good thought, and we can't lose that perspective. But tonight I want to take us out of heaven and get us down to earth, and not just down to earth, but I want you to think about yourself. Don't think about anything else. Just think about yourself. That's why I entitled the message has to do with being self-centered. And I know that that's anathema to believers. We're not supposed to be self-centered. We should be other-centered or Christ-centered. But I want you to be self-centered tonight and think about yourself. And think about yourself in terms of thanksgiving. And not to negate anything Steve says, but just a different perspective. Different understanding. And one thing I've noticed, and it, of course, once you get on some kind of little thing, it becomes a hobby horse, and you just ride it and ride it, ride it. But more and more and more, even for Christians, we've got a center for Thanksgiving. We think about it's a holiday, right? Fourth Thursday of every year of November of every year, and somebody always copies out the president's various proclamations to make that a holiday, and so Thanksgiving Day is a holiday. It's a day of family, and we get your family together and add some friends maybe. It's a day of eating stuff that you don't eat the rest of the year, or at least not in that quantity. We think of the pilgrims, at least once a year we think of the pilgrims, and whatever they did really back in whenever, nobody knows, but it's a nice thought anyhow that they sat on the tables under the trees and they were friends with the Indians and they had the turkey and whatnot. Probably none of the above, but that's okay, it doesn't matter. And then we think of football, and Thanksgiving is always a great day, great holiday. If Dallas loses, there's advantages to that. But it's a holiday event. It comes the fourth Thursday of November. And what that leads us to is something that you have done maybe today, or some of you will hear tomorrow, or maybe do tomorrow when you go back to school or to work. The question will be asked, how was your Thanksgiving? And the key word in that, how was your Thanksgiving, is was. It's a past tense because Thanksgiving is over. See, we're going to be on a Monday, and someone's going to say, how was it last Thursday? How was your Thanksgiving? And with that question comes the idea that when's the next Thanksgiving? Next year. So you got 364 days, you don't have to worry about it. It comes next year. birthday. And we just have fallen into it because we bought into this holiday concept. And it leads us just naturally, if Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of November, then it's over. It was a good day, I trust, for all of you, but it's over. And the other thing that I hear more and more and more, and this is on TV and this is in the newspapers, in the editorials, and in the columns, even in our local paper, is this phrase, I am so thankful. I am so thankful. And when you think of that, that's just meaningless. It's just a warm and fuzzy feeling. It just makes you feel good inside. I'm so thankful, see? And you see that on, you hear that, you see it, you read it, and that's just kind of the buzzword for last Thursday. I'm so thankful. But what does that mean? That you're thankful. It is like political correctness, maybe you say the right words, but there's no substance to that phrase because you can't define that from that, see. Thankful to what? To whom, see? That's the question. And when you just say, I'm so thankful, my cynical nature says, to whom? Baal? You know? Mother Nature? The sun? Maybe your wife or your husband or your kids? Who are you thankful to, see? And we have done that, and even you read the proclamations by the president and they acknowledge some kind of beneficent deity, the Almighty, the, you know, Providence, or, you know, whatever, just kind of mushy, and we're thankful because he has what it has, whatever, you know. And we have slid into not only the past tense, how was your Thanksgiving, but you're just thankful. I have a little, above my desk, I collect little witty sayings, and some of them aren't so witty, but being thankful in general is like being pregnant in general. Right? I mean, what's that? Yeah. So we forget. Maybe we never even thought about it. How does the Bible treat thankful? See? And Thanksgiving is not a holiday in Scripture. It's not one of the holidays where they all went in the Old Testament, all went to Jerusalem and had a Thanksgiving as one day a year. In the Bible, Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, see. Not a holiday, but a lifestyle, see. And if you're going to ask somebody tomorrow about how was last Thursday, at least ask them the right question. And the question is not how was your Thanksgiving, but the question is how is your Thanksgiving, see. Because it's not a past tense, see. And you won't say, I'm so thankful, see, in general, whatever, see. And you will remember that Thanksgiving Day is not thankful day, it's Thanksgiving Day, see. And biblically, we are led to say, I thank the Lord for whatever. Not, I'm so thankful, but I thank the Lord. That last song we sang, and appreciate Greg leading it on kind of last moment's notice, but my heart is filled with thankfulness. If we ended it there, that'd be an abomination, right? But what's the next two words? To Him. My heart is full of thankfulness to Him. Three verses. My heart is full of thankfulness to Him. To Him, see? And so that's kind of what we want to talk about tonight. We need to grasp the concept of Thanksgiving. It's a whole life. It's not a holiday. It's a whole life. So now we don't have just the fourth Thursday of November. As believers, we have 365 days a year. See? And it's specific. And it's directed. It's directed to someone. Now, you pick the someone, and you're thankful to. But it's also specific for what they have done. I am thankful to this object, this person, for what they have done. And as believers, it's obvious. I thank the Lord. My heart is filled with thankfulness to Him who... And then the rest of the verse goes on, see. Thanksgiving is never over. You have not had a Thanksgiving. You are in Thanksgiving, see. And Thanksgiving is never in Scripture general. We're never exhorted, just be thankful. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, maybe something like that. But it's always to whom, see. And it's never without an object. It's specific. And so that's I just want to take Psalm 103, couple of verses and some statement, and talk about it, see. And not to denigrate your Thanksgiving or to take it away or to make you feel guilty, but to just add 360 some days to it. That's all. Now, your wife may not want to cook the big Thanksgiving meal every day, and you may get tired of turkey hot dogs, you know, maybe even sooner or later, but to get us to think properly about Thanksgiving. And just as an aside, and I've said this and I really believe it, you can tell a person's theology, what they really believe, by just listening to their Thanksgiving. Do they really believe anything? And you can tell it by the Thanksgiving, so it's important. But anyway, we want to look at the first five verses of Psalm 105 and just get some ideas of how we are. But the focus is you think about yourself. We're not talking about in general. We're not talking about the nation. We're not even talking about a family gathering or a church gathering. We're talking about yourself. I'm talking about myself. Tonight, just for the few minutes that we have, I want you to think about yourself. Be self-centered just for once. Starts with a command. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See? And that word for bless is kind of an interesting little word. The basic root of it is kneel. Kneel. Now, you can kneel before the Star Spangled Banner if you're a pro football player now. But here, we're kneeling before the Lord, see? And if you're kneeling before the Lord, you're not just generally doing anything. You are very specific in what you're doing. You are before the Lord in this Thanksgiving. And you're directing whatever you're going to say or do or think, you're directing to the one before whom you kneel. You're directing to Him, see. And it comes from your soul. And the word for soul isn't one-third part of you. It's the word back in Genesis where it says, God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living person, soul, being. It's a big word. It means all of you. It means your totality, see. And so when you kneel before God and you are coming from your totality, everything in you is involved in this. It's not just, oh yeah, yeah. Like the little kid does something or gets a present and you have to say as a parent, now say you're thankful. See, yeah, I'm thankful. Yeah. It's all of you. It's your totality saying this, see. It's a working out, by the way, of what we just kind of skip over in the New Testament. Love the Lord with what? You name it, you love it, right? Your heart and soul and mind and strength. See? Whatever you are, whatever you have in you, you love the Lord with that. Well, this is the same concept. You kneel before God. See? Totally. And out of your heart, comes whatever you're going to do. And when you're in this position and you understand what's happening, David admonishes us, and by the way, don't forget don't forget any of his benefits. You acknowledge. See. Now, if you forget something, if somebody does something to you or for you and you forget it, there's some reasons for forgetting, right? It's not important, so I don't remember it. It wasn't worth anything, so I don't remember it. Or I don't care about that person, whether they did it or not, so I don't remember it. I mean, we forget because we attach nothing important to it, see? It's of no value to me, so just for whatever reason, so I just forget it. But the psalmist says, don't forget his benefits. And this is where you come in, see? You are admonished. I'm admonished. Don't forget his benefits. Now, the benefits that accrue to me. And it's an interesting little word for benefits. It has to do with dealings, what he has done, or recompense, what he has given, or benefit, what did you receive, see? So don't forget what you have received as he has dealt with you is the concept here. See? And I say again, if we forget these kind of things, it's because we attach no importance to them. Ho-hum, just another day. The sun came up in the east this morning, did you notice? Ho-hum, right? Well, how does the Lord prove his faithfulness to me today? I don't want to forget that. He comes up in the east and the Lord says, that fixed order is still functioning. I'm faithful, see? And I don't forget things like that, hopefully, see? And don't forget the benefits. It's a conscious awareness that he has done some things for you, to you, with you, to your benefit. You have received some things from him. That verse in 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? Just as an exercise, sit down sometime and write all the things that you have that you didn't receive. I mean, this is what the psalmist is telling us to do. Don't forget all he's done for you, and you say, oh, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do this. He didn't, you know, just try it sometime. It's a great exercise of self-searching, of what we really think, see. Remember when Israel was being brought into the land, and in Deuteronomy, before they crossed over the river, among other things, Moses was warning them. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you get in the land, and there's houses that you didn't build, and there's crops that you didn't plant, and there's trees that you get fruit off that you didn't take care of, and you have all of this, don't forget who gave it to you. See? Don't forget who gave it to you. And we have this tendency to oh, that's nice. That's nice. And we forget. We forget. Because somehow we just, you know. Forget is easy to do. Just think that somehow you accomplished it yourself. You have a good this, a wonderful this, a marvelous this, you have more of this, you're increasing or something, things are going well. You know, I guess I'm doing okay, right? And we ask the question, how are you doing, right? And the standard answer is, I'm doing okay. Well, don't forget, right? Don't forget, okay, if it's true, it's his benefit to you. That's what the psalmist is telling us. Bless the Lord from the totality of you, and don't forget his benefits. Don't forget. And you need, I need, to think consciously and specifically, what has the Lord done for me? That's all. That's why I want you to think about yourself. Don't think about me. Don't think about the person next to you. Just think about yourself. What has the Lord done for me? What benefit do I have? See. And he gives us a little list that, you know, kind of help us in categories. And these are big categories, but you can fill in the blanks. You can fill in the specifics, see. The first one, hey, for most of you, I trust, maybe all of you, I really would trust. He forgave your sins. Okay. He pardons all your iniquities. All your iniquities are taken away. And this concept of iniquities here is using the word our own, which has to do with the, not only just the act of sinning, but the guilt that you've had. And do you remember? Do you remember how it was to be guilty? Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. I first heard this verse in my life from an unsaved man, believe it or not. But I thought it was a good verse. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And my response to that verse was, I'm dying. I can't stand before God. I'm dying. And, you know, and some of you know that. But I remember when it was so bad that I cried out, God, save me. I don't want to die. And you know what he did? Gave me life. And I wasn't guilty before him any longer. And I can remember that. I can remember the night and the morning. I don't remember the date. I just remember the night and the morning. The night I was dying after a long period of dying. And in the morning, I was alive and no guilt, see. And I say, thank you, Lord, for pardoning my iniquities. Not going to forget that one. Not going to just say, that's not important. It's just, you know, see. We can stand before God. What a great deal. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. In John, 1 John, a couple of chapters, both chapter 2 and chapter 4, it talks about we can have confidence before God. You think about that. You can stand before God, and you will stand before God, and you can stand before him confidently. In 1 John, we don't have to shrink back in fear or in shame when he comes, because our iniquities have been pardoned. Don't forget that. He heals all your diseases. Now, that's a tough one, because some of you are sick. And we have in our congregation a number of people that are sick, seriously ill. Fighting all sorts of stuff, and some seem to be chronically ill. I just have minor little deals, and I don't complain about them more than 15 or 20 times a day. But so they're not too serious. But I mean, the Lord can heal. We understand that, but he hasn't chosen to heal me physically. I don't recall ever being really sick. Well, never mind. But it wasn't a healing from the Lord. Some of you may have, and he does those things. But I've got to think, how does he heal my diseases? And I said, what disease have I been healed? Now, I'm just thinking about myself. I'm self-centered now. What disease have I been healed of? And believe it or not, the verse it came to me, it was Jeremiah 17:10, or 9 rather. The heart is deceitful above all things. And I think King James says desperately wicked, but the word is sick. Incurably sick. That's the word. King James made it wicked. It really has to do with being incurably sick. And we don't hear the phrase sin sick anymore. It's in some of the older hymns that we sing, talking about somebody who is sin sick. But I can remember being that sick, see. And in that area, the Lord healed my sickness, my disease. Isaiah 53, you know that verse, verse 5. By his stripes we are healed. Sometimes in the New Testament, that verse was used with regard to physical healing. And other times it has to do with spiritual healing. But the Lord does heal. Isaiah 33, verse 24 is a neat little verse. Nobody, it talks about heaven, and it ends with, this is my paraphrase, nobody in heaven will be sick because their iniquities have been forgiven. And that's a neat verse, isn't it? I won't be sick in heaven, not just because I'll have a super body, but because my iniquities will be forgiven. And it's sin that's behind all. Now, understand what I'm saying, but it's sin that brought sickness in. See? And that's all going to be gone, and he heals all our diseases. And I ought not to forget it. He redeems my life from the pit. Again, I can only speak of my own self-centeredness. But I remember when I was under a death sentence. I really do. And I was going to die, and I knew I was going to die. And then you hear words like the Lord said at the grave of Lazarus, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me shall never die. And he that liveth and believeth, you know, even though he's dead, he'll never die. Chris is not here tonight, but the song we're working on in choir, it is not death to die. Most marvelous title of a song. I don't know if the song's going to be any good or not, but the title is marvelous. It is not death. I buy books, by the way, by titles, too. My Sunday school class knows that. I'll buy a book because it has a good title. It is not death to die, see. And I'm no longer under the death sentence, and when I die, to go to the pit, see. That doesn't exist for me any longer. Because he has redeemed my life from that. I am now alive and I'll never die, so I'll never go to the pit. That's part of the package. That one of his benefits to me is I am free from that fear. I am free from that future. See. I don't want to forget that. That's not where I'm going any longer. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. You may not recognize the crown, right? But whatever it is, it's there. Loving kindness is a marvelous word. It has to do. It has to do with his love for us and his relationship with us, but it also has to do with his faithfulness. And so, different versions translate sometimes covenant loyalty. Faithful love, covenant love. It has to do with not only how he feels about us and how he deals with us, but it's his covenant. He's faithful to it. And he crowns me with his faithful treatment of me. And compassion, that's just a word. We know that. The root word has to do with being soft. He is soft to me. He's not hard. He's not rough. He treats me with compassion. See? That verse in Exodus 34 is a marvelous verse. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. See? That's what I walk under. I wear that crown all day long and sleep in it at night. I just have that crown. That's how the Lord deals with me. I have to think about that. Hey, this is his compassion. This is his loving kindness. Even sometimes I wonder what he's doing, but I know what he's doing it in. He's doing it in his loving kindness and compassion. And I don't want to forget that. Again, my own life, I spent a whole year standing in the living room, shaking my fist at the ceiling because I couldn't get outside the house, shaking my fist literally and yelling at God, "You're not good." Whole year of that. And he dealt with me in loving kindness and compassion, it says. And when you realize that, you don't forget it. See, that's a benefit. That's what he has done. See. Sing in the morning. Awake my soul to joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, oh so free. How many of you have looked at that mirror in the hallway across from the water fountain? Inscribed in that mirror is, he justly claims a song from me. This song. Neat. My crown is loving kindness and compassion. It's not. That's part of what he does, what he puts on me. See. And last but not least, and my apologies sort of to the Springdale Chamber of Commerce, right? We've got it good in Springdale, right? Remember that slogan? Now it's just we make it happen. And I have picked on them for years and years because, well, anyway. He satisfies my ears with good things. Guess what? I have it good in Springdale, right? That's what he does, see? Good things, beneficial, attractive, things that are right, ornamental. I mean, he just gives me good things. And if you don't believe this verse, and this is a tough one too, because sometimes things that are severe happen, make another list. Go home tonight and list all the bad things he's done to you over the years. Just try it. Just try it. Psalm 92 is a interesting little psalm, and he crowns me with good things, so my youth is renewed like the eagle. Psalm 92, starting at verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in an old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. That's a good way to grow old, isn't it? That he satisfies your years with good things so that your youth, sometimes it's mouth, it's a textual problem with the word, but so that you are renewed like an eagle. An eagle molts its feathers and gets new feathers so it can always fly. I mean, he just takes care of us with good things. And these benefits for which we bless the Lord with our whole being are not just one day a year, right? It's your life. It's your life. See? And you are never to forget them. I am never to forget them. Mine, and your list might be different than mine, but we're never to forget them, which means if I remembered them last Thursday, what should I have done on Friday? See? Remember them, and what should I have done said? What should I be doing even now as I'm talking? Oh, yeah, I remember that. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, I look for my crown, right? I mean, I remember these things. That's my lifestyle of giving praise to God, giving thanks to God, kneeling before him and saying, God, this is what you have done for me. I thank you. See? Pardon iniquities and heal diseases and redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, satisfies my years with good things. See? Don't forget. Now, I trust you have thought of your life because your life is in the same place mine is. This is told to us. This is how we are to be. And so when someone says, how was your Thanksgiving? Be nice. They don't know any better, right? Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Understand. The answer is obviously yes, right? You did have a good one. You don't have to try to explain, really, unless they want it. Tomorrow will be 5 days or 4 days after Thanksgiving, so I've had five now, you know. And it's for the rest of your life. It's not a holiday as such. It's a life. It's not in general, I'm so thankful. It's very specific. I am thankful for this. I thank him. See, the Lord who gave this to me. And these benefits that I am not to forget cover every aspect of my life. And we can fill in, oh yeah, this fits this category and this fits this category, but my life fits in these things. This is what he has done for me, and I'm never to forget it. So think. Think about yourself. Think about yourself before God. What has he done for you? What benefits do you remember? And when you do, be thankful to him. Bless his holy name, because that's what he has done for you. So tomorrow will be a good Thanksgiving, right? Hope so. Let's pray. Father, we speak somewhat easily and lightly of your great benefits to us, but we would not take them lightly. They are our life, and they are from you. May we be people who thank you for our lives, and may that redound to your glory and praise and adoration, even as we have sung tonight. So help us to remember, Lord. Don't let us forget. Remind us in ways that we need to be reminded. You are our God. We are yours. And we thank you for that. Bless our time tonight. Bless even now as we go and have a time of fellowship. May that be good and honoring to you as well. In your name, amen.